This is the second part of a message by David Ebaugh entitled, Kinds of Love.
Now, if you back up just a little bit to verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have Zoe. That's this motivating life, this movement, and that they might have it more abundantly. Turns right around and says, in order to give Zoe to these people, I'm going to give up my suki, my breath, so that they can have the Zoe. Now go to 11:4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the doxa of God, that the Son of God might be, I don't know how to say this, doxified, or that's the best I can do it. You got the idea? Glorified thereby. Now, do you notice that, again, it connects the doxa, the glory, with death? See that again? And throughout this, we're going to constantly see that death is involved, the death of the suki, or the animal breath, or animal life, is involved in having or manifesting the glory. And why the glory? Because he's going to turn right around and give you Zoe, which is this motion. That's when Peter talks about this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortality puts on immortality, and we shall be changed. Go to 12:16, you'll see what I'm talking about. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was doxified, then remembered they these things that were in him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now, this connection, or is in connection with his rising, because you understand that at the first, when they first heard it, they didn't understand it, but after he was glorified, that is, after he came from the grave, then they understood what he's talking about. And naturally, the word grave reminds us of death. Now, go back just a little minute to chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the... What do you think? Zoe. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever... Zoe. Liveth. And believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now this, the Zoe, we're going to find out, comes through the Holy Spirit. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be very, very technical. But you're going to see the extreme importance of being moved upon and follow the moving of the Spirit. For it's in following the Spirit movement, the move of the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you're going to live and not die. It's in either being too tired to follow the Spirit, or too stubborn to follow the Spirit, or, well, who knows all the reasons that we sometimes want our own ways. Come on, tell the truth. We all get in this kind of thing. All right. Now go to 12:23, and here you'll see the very same thought again. Excuse me for driving this home over and over again, but after all, the Bible's doing it. And I know I'm bringing a new thought, that's why I have to pound it in. In 23, Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of God should be doxified, glorified. Then he gives that verily, verily, which is amen, amen. I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, there's your glory and your death again. Are you seeing something for the first time here tonight? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? That in whenever Jesus taught of glory and his own glory, he taught of his death. How many times have I showed you that so far throughout this whole thing? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? Is this making sense to you? All right. Now he that this is kind of strange here. In verse 25, he that phileo his suki shall lose it. He that hateth his suki in this world shall keep it unto Zoe eternal. Now that's a hard one, but let's get it all together. He that loveth, that's your brotherly love, his suki, that's your breath. If you have your breath for the purpose of having breath to serve yourself, you know, follow what I'm getting at now, then you shall lose your breath. He that hateth his breath, or his suki, his animal breath, in this world, shall what? Keep his animal breath. Unto Zoe, eternal, life eternal. Now, this then is the clue to eternal suki and eternal Zoe. By self-sacrifice, by giving up of your own natural desires, own selfish, I mean, that's what breath is about, isn't it? You want your breath to keep living, in that, right? And you want that as a symbol for all the other things that the body craves. Now, if you would look upon all these other things that the body craves with the attitude that I'm going to love and support and take care of other people to the rejection of my own wants, desires, see what I'm talking about, needs in the body realm, Jesus promised you that you'll keep the body realm and also go into the Zoe as well. And that's just what agape love is all about. For phileo love is a phileo love that says, I'll take care of your needs if you take care of mine. The agape love says, I will pour out my love upon you and continue to take care of your needs over and over. How many times? 490 a day. Because agape is by the Spirit. You can't do it. Now tell the truth. You can't do it. There's not a person here that can pump up that much love, that much hate for your own breath, that much hate for your own desires, needs, wants. After all, we're human beings, aren't we? And Jesus said, overcome your natural desire for the natural things and the needs of the body. He says, I promise, when you do that, you'll have the agape, that heavenly love. And I promise you, he said, that you can keep your... Keep it. Do you see it right here? In this world shall keep it unto eternal Zoe. Eternal action and motivation. This, I believe, is the formula for being alive and remaining to the coming of the Lord. Let me see if I can explain it. When the rough times come, when the sixth seal opens, when things get bad, if you are still in that immature realm of constantly thinking of yourself, preparing for yourself, meeting your own needs during that period, Jesus said, you shall lose your suki. But if you, in a positive, on-purpose effort, say, forget my food and give it to so-and-so, forget my, take off your coat, give it to someone else, then Jesus, right here, says, now you're not going to lose your suki, you're going to keep it to eternal Zoe, to eternal life. Are these things kind of making sense a little bit to you here tonight? Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's putting up a real, a real tight specification for eternal suki. But isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want to know? Don't you want to know what it's going to take to be in that group that's going to be alive and remain in the coming of the Lord? It's going to be a group of people whose minds and whose motives are meeting the needs of other people, not their own. And Jesus turns right around and says, why, when you give up houses and lands for my sake, I'll give you 100-fold back. In the same quantity. I mean, the same material. Houses, I'll give you houses. Center, center. Okay? Let's go on just a little bit more. Let's go to the love scriptures, 520. Now, here's a scripture that might surprise you. In 520, the Father loveth the Son. Do you think that's Zoe or Phileo? It says right here in 520, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. He had just said the amen, amen in verse 19. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he see the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now what had happened was they were mad at Jesus because he healed a man on the wrong day. Remember? Jesus healed him on Saturday. That made him mad because Saturday was the Sabbath and they don't like it. And they were mad at him. And Jesus said, look, I'm only doing as the Son what I saw my dad do in the first place. Then he says, the Father phileo the Son in verse 20. Now we'd always thought of God love as agape love. But here we find a phileo love coming from God. And when God phileos one, he expects you to return. Hear me? Agape love says, I'm going to keep pouring out, meeting your needs. I don't care what you do back to me. I'm just going to still be, you know, nice guy to you. But a phileo love means that sons of God must be phileoed by God. Now, what does that tell you immediately? That sons of God have to respond. For it's a responsive love. When God loves, we love back. And he proves it by saying, as a son, I am only copying or mimicking what I saw my daddy do. And come on, Dad, doesn't that make you proud? For the boys to see you, see what you're doing, and we'll assume that they're copying a nice thing, and it makes you feel good. And that's phileo love. That's that response. Did you ever have it in your heart, that beating of the heart, which is a phileo love? Because they tell me that copying is one of the greatest forms of flattery. To mimic or to copy means that surely you like the other person, like the way they handle that, and that's why you're copying it. You like the way they said it, or so on. That's a very sincere form of flattery when you copy somebody. So here is Jesus copying the Father and say, look, Dad healed him on the Sabbath, and so do I. You get the idea? But let me review it or break it down to you. If you are sons of God, and as you're coming into this relationship, this manifestation of the sons of God, you're going to have to not only have agape love for other people, you're going to engage in phileo love with the Father. As he shines his light on you, you give some of it back to him. You glorify him. You follow what I'm getting at? This phileo love. All right, let's go on to 11:3 then. Now in 11:3, we find therefore his sisters, that's Lazarus, said unto him, saying, Lord, behold him whom thou phileo is sick. One of the few people that Jesus phileoed. Now these things are going to really give you some insight. I mean, really, if you can remember these things, you'll have tremendous insight into these relationships that you haven't seen before. How many believe they're seeing some things already here that you just haven't seen before? For Jesus phileoed Lazarus. For Lazarus phileoed Jesus. He responded. When Jesus did something, Lazarus would respond. And this response brought a phileo from Jesus to Lazarus. For they had a brotherly love. There was a response. They liked to be with each other. If you don't believe it, find out how many times you went to Lazarus' house. For you liked to be with him. Did you ever have somebody you just liked to be with? Had nothing to do with Eros. There's nothing sexy about it. It's just someone that you like to be with. For when you say things, they could respond quickly. They knew what you were talking about. There was a phileo, a brotherly love, one for the other. And of course, since it has nothing to do with the Eros realm, the male-female realm, therefore this love is a love that can operate across the sex or within each sex. You understand what I'm talking about? For it's a, it's a divine love. It's not the love that most of us think about when we think of love. You think of Hollywood love. But we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about a brotherly love. Somebody that you can talk to. Somebody that's a good sounding board. And when you talk to them, they are not always downing you. People that are always downing you, pretty soon you quit telling them things, don't you? And you find other people to be with. All right, here's the phileo love that Jesus had for Lazarus. Now, one other thing, though. In verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, which kind of love do you think that is? This is agape love. It doesn't tell us anywhere that Jesus loved Martha and her sister with a kind of love that demanded a response. That might be important because there are people who are running around the country right now teaching free love and using that particular scripture, saying, see, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary.
The Mormons say that Jesus was married to Martha.
Based on this scripture.
Yeah.
Based on this scripture right here. But this scripture says Jesus agaped Martha and her sister, not Eros and not phileo, for he did not demand a response from them. He poured out his love toward them without their response. Do you understand this?
You get all these definitions from the Greek, is that it?
Yeah.
The different kinds of love come out of this Greek?
Yeah, maybe I ought to stop and tell you how this all happened. I can see you're so perplexed and you're wondering, well, what's he talking about?
Wonder why it hadn't been brought up before.
How about...
It's always been that way in the Greek.
Do you remember asking that question about Revelation?
Yes.
Yeah, remember the same question about the Book of John.
I know why, but I mean, it's really something.
It's something. This whole Bible, I'm so excited about this simple thing that my Bible, this Book of John, makes so much sense now that other places didn't make sense, that I'm now ready to actually write it out, and in wherever it says love life or any of these other words, put the whole description in. Now, the reason I want to do that is that the Amplified Bible and all the other Bibles don't tell you the difference, always. You see what I'm talking about? And they don't show you these shades of meaning, which I feel are vital and important. For we are to mimic these things, and these things are to operate in our life. Now, we know that we can only get agape through the Holy Spirit. But we get phileo through you and me. I phileo you because you phileo me. You didn't understand that. Now, I'll tell you what that means. All the world loves a lover. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard a smile is contagious? Why do you smile back? Because someone smiled at you in the first place. In other words, that's phileo. And you and I respond in this phileo realm because it's a response. It demands a response. Someone smiles, you smile back. And that's phileo love, and it works between males and males and females, and works between males and females too. See what I'm talking about? And we got to get out of that old idea of love because that idea has been brought to us by this, and you know, the old English and the either the Puritan ideas about love, or else the opposite would be the Hollywood ideas about love. And none of these really are talking about that at all. And so that shoots the Mormon idea right through the head about Jesus being married to Mary Martha. I mean, when you see it, it's very obvious. And yet, it says he loved him, so somebody will hear about it. That means he was married. And it doesn't at all. Okay, let's go into 1334. That's the one that's the most important. Well, that's the introduction. I did. In 1334, I honestly believe. Now, I hope nobody's mad at me. But I honestly believe that 1334 is more important than 316. To us. Not 316 is not important. Please don't misunderstand me. It's the fact that if you're going to live, if you're going to be that generation that's alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, if you're going to actually come into that perfect man, the one that's put on the mind of Christ, the one that's conformed to his own image, then 1334 is going to have to be part of you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The new commandment I give unto you, that you agape one another, as I have agape you, that ye also agape one another. Agape love demands a continuous pouring out without response. Jesus poured out his love, his agape, without the response of those people. He also, because he was in the flesh, had phileo love. Some responded. See what I'm talking about? And to those with whom he had phileo love, he also had agape. It said so back here about Lazarus. He phileo Lazarus, he also agape Lazarus. Doesn't say phileo of Mary Martha, he agape them. Are some of these things making sense to you? I hope that a few are.
Some.
Yeah. I know it's new and it's hard, and it's we're really learning a whole new language, aren't we? When you get right down to it, it's a new language. Zoe, Suki, phileo, agape. Well, it's the phileo. It's the doxa. Turn to chapter 17, you'll get a little bit more with me. I'll start in verse, go back to 16:14 for a minute. 16:14, speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he shall doxa me. See it? The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, for you shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, if you haven't caught it yet, that's what's happening to you tonight. For the Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus as he shows Jesus unto you. You see it right there? Receiving the word and showing it. And when you have an illumination, an understanding, a further understanding of the meaning of the word, it's the doxa. It's the glory. For here tonight you have participated in the glory of God, in the doxa, as the Holy Spirit is further revealing to you through his word what he's talking about. So somebody say glory or hallelujah or something. Because it's the glory. Isn't that what it says? It's the doxa. When the Holy Spirit illuminates the meaning of the word, that brings glory. And by the way, that takes a miracle. If you learn anything tonight, it'll be a miracle. Well, really now, that's what it says. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives Zoe. I'm starting to get technical now, but I can't help it. I'm starting to see something new. Now, are you mad at me for getting technical? No, I think you're going to have to. I think you're going to have to see the difference and start living for the more real things, not giving up. How can I say it? Hating your Suki, but realizing as you hate your Suki, and give of yourself to meet the needs of other people, Jesus said, I'm just going to keep pouring it back onto you. I'm just going to give it back to you, and you won't lose it. All right? Now let me go on to just a little bit further in 16:27. Go to 26, because that doesn't make sense when we read it. Now that won't make sense till you go to 23. 23, I think we'll start there. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs or parables, until I shall show you plainly of the Father. In that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself phileo you. There it is, because you have phileoed me. Phileo demands a response. And as you phileo me, Jesus said, my Father will now phileo you, because it's responsive. You follow it? Now it makes sense, doesn't it? For phileo is with response. Agape is without. But we'll find out if you're studying this lesson and if you're understanding this lesson, because tomorrow you will meet the needs of someone who will neglect and forget and be unresponsive to you. Then we'll find out if you've got agape or phileo. I can't help it, but that's part of the deal now. For agape demands that you hate your suki. Don't you see what I'm getting at? Agape demands, you cannot expect a response. When you have a response, then you got phileo. Let's find out whether we've got phileo love or agape love by watching whether or not your corners of your mouth are up or down the next time you're going up and down a hill. Do you understand what I'm saying? For now, you'll be able to know yourself and see the difference. Put your finger right on it and say, okay, now I know what he was talking about. I expected a response. That's why I'm mad. I expected them to meet my needs. I met their needs. Why didn't they meet mine? And that's the reason that you blow up and fly off the handle and other things. Come on, tell the truth. Most of the time, anybody flies off the handle, it's because of this phileo. They want a response. You don't get it.
Be sure to send for your free catalog of Bible teaching tapes. Send your name, address, and zip code to the David Ebal Bible School,